Over the years, and I've shared this before, I think of the times when I have been able to preach a message of some sort and to develop that message throughout the week. And sometimes it's a spontaneous thing in my life. Most of the time it's a spontaneous thing somewhere around Monday. And then God grows it throughout the week. That's just the way. I took a track in education. I have a bachelor in Bible, and then my minor was in education, Christian education. So I never took any of the pastor courses. I didn't fit in, I guess, with that, or I just didn't go there. I didn't take any of the pastor courses. So I never took a preaching course because I had no desire to be the preacher. I had no desire to be what I am today. I have a desire for that now, just to let you know, but I didn't have a desire for that back in the day. So it was, I never walked that that journey in education to learn how to develop a message, or how to preach, or how to do a wedding, or how to do a funeral, or how to do any of those things. It's kind of come just kind of by default, I guess, or just leaning into it. So when you're writing a message, I don't know how many of you have ever written or preached a message. It can be very taxing. It really can. It can like draw. It's like you got to rely on God. Well, go run 26 miles and rely on God. You're going to still be exhausted at the end of the 26 miles, okay? So it's more like that marathon thing. For me, anyway, and just personally, it's more of that marathon thing. Stick with it. Develop it. And last week's message, it came because I knew that God wanted me to go to Psalm 26. In Psalm 26, I didn't know what was there yet, but I knew that He wanted me to go to Psalm 26. So I copied Psalm 26 from my Bible program, brought it over into my Word document, and pasted it, and simply closed my eyes and say, I have no idea what's here, but in Jesus' name, here I go. And throughout the week, God challenged me and ministered to me and preached that message really to me throughout the week. And then I come and it takes Him like 20 hours to preach it to me, and I need to preach it to you in 40 minutes or 35. And so you must not be as thick-headed as I am, you know. So it takes Him longer to get it into my head. And often I'll go to the rabbit trail. I come out this week and Cheryl had said something about the message, and I said, right now I have four perfect messages running simultaneously, and I have no idea where I'm going with it. And then later on I said, well, I'm at the Tuesday level of my message. But I knew instantly, last Sunday, I knew where I was going. I knew the thought that God wanted me to go. And sometimes He does that. He gives me the thought on the week before. Sometimes He gives me a series of thinking, and He wants me to unpack that series of thinking. Almost like the sunflower passage, the sunflower messages, if you weren't here, but I preached the sunflower, what we learned from the sunflower patch. I knew where God was taking me with that for several weeks in a row. But other weeks, I don't know that. I just kind of know from week to week. I know the passage of Scripture, but I don't know exactly what's there for me. And I'll try to stop talking because I'm confusing myself at this moment. So Psalm 26, I was there, and I brought forth the message last week, and I called it resume. Or not resume, I figured that out from last week, but I called it resume. And what was on your resume? What's what I want to be on my resume? And I come up with these two parts of out of that Psalm 26 of that resume. This is what I want. My resume. This is what I want. When my resume is written at the end of time, I want it to say this: I walked in my integrity. Because as we said last week, it's kind of hard for you to walk in my integrity. I need to walk in my integrity, and you walk in your integrity. It might be the same integrity, but you can't walk in my integrity. That's kind of what we try to do with laws, right? We try to legislate righteousness. And okay, you can stop people maybe from speeding, but it's hard to legislate righteousness. God proved that in the Old Testament. He told His people, I can't legislate righteousness. I need to come in and redo you. And I found myself singing that song, and I didn't know whether I was singing life or heart. And one time I was singing heart, and then I heard everybody else say life, and I would say life, and everyone else was singing heart. I really didn't know where I was, and God says, just chill, it's the same. You give me your heart, I got your life. You give me your life, I got your heart. So just sing what you want. Both of those can work simultaneously here. So I want to walk in my integrity, and I trusted the Lord without wavering. That's what I want on my resume. That's where I want to go. That's what I want people to say. I don't care what people, really, I don't really care what people say about me. I'm more concerned about what Jesus says about me. And when Jesus says he walked in his integrity and he trusted the Lord without wavering, that's what I wanted to contain. That was last week's message. I don't think I'm preaching again. It's not a rerun. It's not the 15th time that you've seen the Christmas Carol, the same one like Cheryl. But But we come up with these seven statements, and I reworked them a little bit to make more sense, because if I ever preach out again, then I want to have this would be what it will say. But these seven statements, I will walk in truth. If those two things are going to be on our resume, these seven things need to take place in my life. I need to walk in truth. I will walk in truth. We talked about that last week. I'm not going to develop that again. It was last week. You can go last week, and it's still online, and you can listen to that message if you want to. But then 2 and 3 says, I will not be part of the problem. And then again, it's in verse 5, he says, I will not be part of the problem! Exclamation point! I just want you to know I'm not going to be part of the problem, because if I'm part of the problem, I'm not going to walk in integrity. If I'm part of the problem, I'm not going to be trusting God without wavering. And then we went on, and I will worship and serve my Lord, and I will have a heart of thanksgiving. And I will spend time with God. And I will confess when I mess up. And there's a lot of I wills, and there's 2 I will nots, and there's 5 I wills. So it as always, the Bible is not this kill your joy book, it's the life book. So there's a lot more do's in the Bible than there's do nots. And I'm going to even say there's 5 to 2, right? And the 2 are the same thing, only one has an exclamation point at the end of it, because you don't want to be part of the problem. That was last week's message. In a nutshell, you asked me, why didn't I preach it in 10 minutes last week then, right? Why did it take you 40? That's what my mind says right now. But after the service, I had a conversation that was very inspiring to me. And I knew, as a part of that conversation, I knew what today's message, the thoughts of today's message would be. And as I engaged in that conversation, numbers 2 and 3 were highlighted. And I will not be part of the problem. I will not be part of the problem. But then we have in this conversation went back and forth, and it was very inspiring. Thank you for that conversation. And if you ever have a conversation and you have a situation you want to talk about with a message, that'd be nice, but you can talk to me about it. Don't throw things at me. I'm human too. I bleed. I can prove that in the shop yesterday. So you can be nice to me. And this conversation that I had was not real long, but it was very inspiring to me. And I thank the Lord for that conversation, because I knew in that conversation, I knew where I needed to go for this week. I knew what I needed to unpack for this week. Because we got a problem and a solution situation. And that's where the conversation was talking about. Is my solution identified as someone else's? Is someone else identifying my solution as a problem? Does that make sense to you? Is my solution identified by someone as the problem? So see now, this quote was given. You either have to be a part of the solution, or you're going to be a part of the problem. Eldridge Cleaver said that. I find it very interesting that Eldridge Cleaver said that, because he was raised in a very troubled environment. He was a American black militant. He had a long and violent criminal record. He was in and out of prison. He had years of addiction. He had a failed marriage. He ran for political office several times and lost each time. He was a Black Panther, a Muslim, a Christian, and several other cults, and he wrote a book. That's his life in a nutshell. And he says, you're either a part of the solution, or you're going to be a part of the problem. And I just found it interesting that that guy said that. Because, see, I think that guy had a problem with knowing what was the solution, what was the problem. Because what if my solution is actually part of the problem? Or what if my solution is just identified as by someone else as part of the problem? And what if I'm trying to add the solution, but really it's being identified as a problem? Or maybe if I'm just trying to add a solution and I'm convincing myself it's part of the solution and really it's part of the problem. I don't know about you, but I can talk myself in circles about that. And the full quote is this: there is no more neutrality in the world. You either have to be a part of the solution or you're going to be a part of the problem. You're either part of the solution or you're part of the problem. And that's where our conversation went after the service. That's where the conversation went. I want to be a part of the solution. I don't want to be a part of the problem. I don't want my actions to add to the problems of this world. But how do I know what if I'm adding the solution or part of the problem? Am I making sense? Good. Tell me what I said later on, okay? But, and there is no more neutral ground, is what Mr. Cleaver says. And just so you know, Mr. Cleaver went home to be with the Lord as a born-again believer in the end of his life. So he knew what the solution was. But he definitely had this turmoil in him to know what solution and problem, what was part of what. What would he should be doing? What should he be doing? Because the Pharisees accused Jesus of being a part of the problem. If Jesus could have just shut up, and Jesus said, I'm adding a solution. He said, no, you're not. You're adding a problem. We're identifying your solution, Jesus, as part of the problem. If you can just shut up, we won't have a problem here. Jesus says, your problem, your solution is actually a problem, and what you're identifying in me as a problem is actually the solution. And Jesus told the Pharisees this: you are in error because you do not know the Scripture or the power of God. You're in error because you don't know the Scripture. You're in error because you don't know the Word of God. And not only in the Word of God, we're not talking about answering the Bible category on Jeopardy. We're talking about you don't know the Scripture and you don't know the power of God. That's why you're in error. That's why you think that part of what I'm adding is a problem when really it's the solution. I'm adding the Messiah to your picture. I'm adding salvation to your picture. I'm adding the cross to your picture. I'm adding forgiveness to your picture. And you're identifying that as a problem. You have a problem because you don't know the Word of God. And you don't know the power of God. That's the problem, he said. You don't know the Word of God. And you don't know the problem of God. And thus you're creating conflict. There's conflict. I don't know about your world, but there's conflict in my world. And conflict is identified as this: a warfare between opposing forces. You can push the button. Warfare between two opposing forces, right? Or a psychological state resulting from the often unconscious opposition between simultaneous but incompatible desires, needs, drives, and impulses. Just so you know, that's inside of your head. I'm at conflict because these two things that are in opposition to each other are trying to fire at the same time, and they just don't. That's like your vehicle being out of time when you're trying to fire the cylinders out of order. It doesn't work. But this is the final definition of conflict, is this. Push the button, please. Disagreement or clash between ideas, principles, and or beliefs. So there's conflict. Hey, hang on, I'm getting there, okay? Don't give up on me yet. So there's conflict, there's a clash, there's a disagreement between, and clashes between ideas and principles and beliefs. And then I wrote this statement, you can push the button, this is the statement: if everyone knew and walked in the Word and knew and walked in the power of God, 24/7 conflicts wouldn't come to an end. I believe that with all my heart. That if we would walk in the Word of God completely, 24/7, and if you would know and walk in the power of God completely, 24/7, there would be no conflicts. Jesus said to the Pharisee, you're in conflict because you don't know and walk in the Word of God, or you don't know and walk in the power of God that's right before you. So therefore, you're creating conflict. So if we would walk in the Word, if we would walk in the power of God 24/7, there would be no conflict. Just so you know, that's not happening. That is not happening today, and I don't know if it'll happen tomorrow, so there is conflict. Now, I know that this is truth. I know that I'm going to strive toward this way. I'm going to strive toward knowing, not just knowing the Word of God so I can post it or so I can quote it or I can write it on a sign, but so I can know the Word of God, so I can walk in the Word of God, and I can know the power of God, so I can walk in the power of God, so that conflicts can go away in our lives. But until then, there's going to be conflict. Am I making sense? This is key. We need to know this. So just to be honest, sometimes you're a problem. And just to be honest, sometimes you're a solution. And the more we walk in the Word of God, and the more we walk in the power of God, the more there will be the solution. Jesus knew, because he walked completely in the Word of God and completely in the power of God. So he could point out to the Pharisees, you're in error because you're not doing that. Just so you know, you might not want to quote Jesus on that. All that I do is because I am in tune with God 100%, 24/7, and I walk in his Word, I walk in his power, therefore you're wrong. Just so you know, you might not want to start there. Strive for that. Know that. But understand that that is not happening in today's world. That's not happening 24/7 in my own life. Because I disagree with you. My ideas and principles and beliefs collide with yours. We have different thoughts that rile us about religion. Now, granted, if everyone in the world would walk in the Word of God and walk in the power of God, there would be no conflict in the word religion. It's not happening. So there's conflict. There's this turmoil between you and others, between me and you. There's conflict in the political world, in politics. There's conflict. Oh, there's two things you never talk about, religion and politics. You know why? Because you're not walking in the Word of God, and you're not walking in the power of God. So therefore, you're going to have conflict. And you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, better know how to handle the conflict. While you strive to know and walk in the Word, and strive to know and to walk in the power of God. There's conflict whether we should be vaccinated or wear masks. Strong opinions. And this message is not going to answer those questions, which aggravates some of you even more, perhaps. Because you have an opinion of what a pastor should be. Well, just let me be completely honest and bold. Until you're one, don't argue. You can scrap that from the video later on. It'll just be. But I find it very interesting how many people know how to do my job better than me. Now, just to be granted, I don't know how to do my job best. Why? Because I'm not walking in complete obedience and know the Scripture 24/7, and don't know the full power of God in walking in that 24/7, so I don't know, but there's a lot of conflict. There's conflict. There's conflict in our world. There's conflict in this room. There's conflict about lifestyles. For crying out loud, we don't even know if we should have the Easter Bunny or Santa Claus, or just throw them both at the curb. And this message is not about those things. Because you know what? Those things aren't going away. This message is about how do I handle the conflict. When someone is in disagreement with me, or someone's belief or ideas collide with mine, how do I handle that? What do I do? Oh, I'm going to strive again. Let me say, I'm going to strive to know God's Word and to walk in God's Word and to know God's power and walk in God's power. But until then, what do I do? Because we disagree. what I do or don't do, or what I say or I don't say, or how to parent or how to spouse. How do I handle conflict? Conflict with a spouse, conflict with my children, conflict with the neighbors, conflict with the coworkers, conflict in the church, conflict with people. Because there's a lot of different ideas. And there's a lot of different principles, and there's a lot of different beliefs. What was the last thing you had a conflict over? And I'm not saying you rolled up your sleeves and went at somebody. I'm just saying it riled you up. What was the last thing? And I'm not asking for confession here. I'm just asking you to get that out in front of your heart so we can wrestle with real life situations. Because it's not only a guy named Goliath, it's your own conflict inside of you. And I'll just be bold again to say, because you don't follow the Word of God 24/7 and you don't walk in the power of God 24/7, so you get a different belief, you get a different idea that collides with other people. Now, how do you handle that? How do you handle conflict? And I think these are the two words that come to me. I unleash or unhook. I unleash on somebody. I unleash with my thoughts and my opinions and my collision. And hopefully my truck is bigger. When a conflict comes, I can just talk louder. I can type in all capitals. Woo, that's scary. When I collide with you, boom, I win. That's the way we handle conflict sometimes. Or we just unhook from that people. We just say, I'm unfriending you on Facebook.
Come on now.
I'm just going to unfriend you. How do you like that? Pink. And then we say, I wonder if they got a notice that I unfriend them. See, I think we should send them a notice. You just got unfriended. Now, some of your computer hackers could probably find out who's unfriended who. And maybe we could just have a list in a few weeks. This Ed has unfriended these people because he doesn't like their thoughts, because they collide with his and they're driving a bigger truck than him. And he really feels insecure when he comes up against their conflict and is bulldozing him over. So he's unfriended them. I'm just hoping that I can have a better way to handle conflict than to drive a bigger truck or just unhook from them. And just do away with them. Just not look at their situation anymore. If you do a Bible search, and which I did, Google, and I'm learning more and more and more, Google doesn't have as many answers as I once thought they did. You see, no, Google can't agree with itself. Why? Because Google doesn't walk with God 24/7. And I just found out that Google is actually people. Did you know that? That there's people that put stuff out there. And when you Google, you think you're this Google God. It's actually just you and me. I find it interesting that we'll look. Oh, there it is. It's the 16th one down on the page. It agrees with me. I'm posting that baby. Don't worry about the other 15. Anyway, I Googled. We can have a message on Google later. I Googled this. This is the word, conflict Bible verses. I just want to see what it told me. And this is some of the verses that come up. Love one another. That's a good idea. That's never a bad idea. In your anger, do not sin. Good information as well. Obviously, it's the Word of God. And a couple other ones said this. It said this, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Some of us could really go to school on that one. Some of us could really go to school on that one. Do not repay evil for evil. But how do I handle conflict? How do I love one another? How do I let unwholesome talk come out of my mouth? Let me say it again. I know this is getting repetitive, but I need to say this for my own self. I walk with God in His Word 24/7. Know His Word. Walk in it. Know His power. Walk in it. I'm working that out. I'm not there yet. And so how do I handle conflict until I get there, until you get there? I want to go to Proverbs 15 this morning. All that just to get to Proverbs 15. On this 5 more Sundays, this is the first of the 5 more. I want to give you 5 G's this week. You're getting 5 G's. Jason hooked me up to 5 G's yesterday.
Ooh.
Step away from my house. I got more lanes of the highway. I don't have any faster speed yet, but I got more lanes of the highway. Now I can travel 30, not on a 2-lane road, right, Jason? But I can travel 30 on a 16-lane road. I'm still going 30. We're working on that. Here's 5G. The 5 G's of how to handle conflict until you get it all right with God, until you get it all right with His Word, until we all get it all right with the power and the Word of God. I think this is valid counsel. Number one, gentle. The first G is you need to be gentle. Just so you know, there's going to be conflict. Be gentle. Be gentle. Look at the words in that. Gentle, wrath, harsh, anger. It's multiple choice. A, B, C, or D. That's your choices. I don't know about you. If you're good with multiple choice, I usually just guessed. But right now, it's a multiple choice. You can be gentle, and there's wrath, and there's harsh words, and there's anger. It's up to you. But those four things jump out of that verse. There's four things. Understand, if those four words are in that verse, we have to understand that not everything is going to go along without conflict. Not in your marriage, not in your parenting, not in this world, not in your workplace. Nowhere is it going to go along without conflict. You got to know that. We're not there yet. There is those four choices. That you can be gentle, you can be wrathful or vengeful, you can be harsh, or you can be angry. Does that make sense? If we want to navigate conflict at the highest level possible until we all walk in unison with God, then we need to be gentle. And gentle does not mean not giving an answer. It's a gentle spirit. It's a gentle answer. You can identify that there's issues that can produce negativity. You can say that. This is one of those moments. I'm feeling it inside right now. Somebody's just collided with my point of view. Somebody's just collided with my principle. Somebody just collided with my belief system. Somebody's just collided with me. And at that moment, is it harsh? Is it anger? Is it wrath or is it gentleness? Those are choices we have, I believe. And Solomon, in this passage of Scripture, says, choose gentleness. Because you're choosing the most powerful thing. Because gentleness will turn away wrath. And harsh words will only stir up anger. Gentleness has the ability to turn wrath around and send it the other way. That is power. Don't think I'm a doormat when I am gentle. You're not a doormat when you are gentle. You are empowered by God to meet conflict with gentleness. A soft, gentle answer. Whatever you want, just get out of my way. I'm unfriending you right now. It's not that. It's power. It's not the silent treatment. Oh, I'll handle conflict. I'll just remain silent in my marriage until somebody gets it. Thank you, Captain Obvious. That doesn't work. I'm not all that bright when you talk to me, let alone when you're silent to me. And somehow he's just going to read, or she's going to read my mind. Good luck with that. It's not unhooking. It's not silent treatment. It is an answer. It has the ability to turn away or turn the wrath the other way. See, we got a mindset, and the world has programmed us. I just need to scream louder than you. Or I just need to hold my breath longer than you. Or I just need to whatever longer than you, and I will win this conflict. All I got to do is drive a bigger truck than your car, and when we hit, oh baby, I'm going to win it. Is that what you want? Is that what we really want in conflict, just to win? As a believer in Jesus Christ, you better soul search that. Because times you are exactly part of the solution. And at times you're part of the problem. Either or, be gentle. Because look what his anger. You know what anger means? I wrote it down. Rapid breathing and flaring of nostrils. I don't know about you, but I've done that and I've seen that. Gentleness. Look what he says in verse 2. The second G word. Oh, I got this verse in there 5 different times. I need to handle it. If you got a problem with it, start seeking the wisdom from heaven. Just this is your own personal thing. Just start seeking the wisdom from heaven, because the wisdom that comes from heaven is, first of all, pure. And then it's peace-loving and considerate and submissive. And look at full of grace, full of mercy, and full of good fruit. It is full of impartiality and full of sincereness. Verse 2 says this, second G. I'll get going here. Second G is grasp. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. You know how the tongue of the wise commends or exalts knowledge? Because it's listened. The G word here is grasp. Grasp what the other person is actually saying or feeling. Can we grasp a hold of what they're saying and what they're feeling? Because if all I want to do is gas up my truck, baby, woo! I don't care why you're feeling that way. I don't care what kind of fear is driving you or me. I don't care. I'm not going to grasp a hold of the truth. I'm telling us right now, if we can grasp a hold of the truth and understand that other people, you included, when you're part of the problem, and sometimes when you're part of the solution, when you grasp a hold of the truth that somebody else is hurting, or somebody else is afraid, or somebody else is in danger, maybe we can start to have empathy, and we can start to work out this conflict between us. But when we already know they're doing that because of this, woo! You should get a job in reading minds. Can we grasp what they're saying? Can we grasp why they're saying it? Can we grasp and hear them? Or we can be the mouth of a fool that gushes folly. Which means he boils over. It's the same word that we would use if you run over stuff on the stove. Cheryl came home one time and I was making a Western mount. And if you have to make a Western mount, without all the details, when you make a Western mount, you have to get the bones clean of the animal that you're making a Western mount from. And the best way to get the bones clean is to clean as much as you can and then boil them in borax water. Okay? So Cheryl comes home from work or from wherever she's at, and I'm making a Western mount on the kitchen stove with borax boiling and a skull sticking out of the top of the pot. And it gushed over. And it gushed over, and it was making a mess of the stove. Just so you know, that cost me pizza that night. That's what he said. The fool will just gush this goo all over the stove. Or you can really grasp, listen, New Lifers, or you can really grasp what the other person is thinking or wants to say. Or you can just make a mess of the stove. I believe that until we get it right over here, walking with God and in His Word and in His power, there's going to be conflict. And if we're going to handle conflict without unhooking or driving over someone, unleashing on them, then we're going to need to be gentle and we're going to need to strive to grasp what they're saying. If you can't grasp what someone's saying, ask for the wisdom that is from God. Because the wisdom of heaven is first of all pure, and then it's peace-loving. It's considerate and it's submissive, and it's full of grace and good fruit, and it's impartial and it's sincere. I don't know about you, but I need more of that wisdom when I meet conflict. Number three, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere. Keep watch on the wicked. And the keeping watch on the wicked and the good. So you know, the third G is God. The Lord is everywhere. God has not left the earth. Because God is in the house, He can. And because He can, you can. Conflict will make my heart and your heart bitter and mean and unforgiving and spiteful and hard. And frankly, that's not very easy to get along with. I'm not asking for all of us to resolve our conflict. Boom, it's gone. But I'm asking that we would be gentle with one another. We would be gentle with this world. We would be gentle with our wives and our husbands. We would be gentle with our kids. We would be gentle with our neighbors. We would be gentle with our coworkers. And we would grasp what other people are thinking or wrestling with in life. And we would remember, God, you're here. God, you're in the middle of this conflict. I cry out to you, God. Because I need the wisdom from heaven. Which comes from heaven is, first of all, pure. And I need that wisdom from heaven that is peace-loving, God. Push the button. I need that wisdom from heaven that is considerate. Right now, God, I don't feel very considerate. But God, you're in the house. And I need you. Just let me make it clear. This is not a verse for you to quote to the person you're having conflict with. This is a verse for you and I to digest so we can handle conflict. Because it's submissive and it's full of mercy and it's full of good fruit and it's impartial and it's sincere. We need to be gentle. We need to grasp and we need God. Number four is this. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life. But this deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. We need to give when we engage. When we do, we engage in life-giving words. Listen, life-giving words are not resolution to the conflict. It's just speaking into someone's life. It might be resolution to the conflict. It may be that. It might be just saying, honey, you know what? Man, I love you beyond belief. And right now I'm wrestling with not colliding here. Because I got different thoughts. I don't know why, but I feel pretty passionate about some of the thoughts I have. And But I don't want to. I'm not looking to crush. I'm not looking to be crushed. Because the no problem with crushing spirits are is you when you crush the spirit and then you throw it out to the world, then the world is full of crushed spirits. You need to give. We need to give out. We need to speak it out. We need to speak from the healing tree. We need to speak. A speech from that source brings healing. The speech from that source gives life. And the opposition is to the opposing part of that is to crush them. Am I making sense? I'm almost done, you know. I've got five.
Keep preaching.
My cattle dog, when you'd want her to do something, you'd just go, and whatever she was doing and she heard you say, hang on, baby. That 35-pound dog was going to do it with an 80-pound attitude. That's what's happening to me right now. We need to be gentle. We need to grasp. We need to make sure that God, we need to know that God is in the picture. And then we need to start speaking out and loving on people. And again, I'm not asking us for, we're not doormats. This is not be a doormat sermon. I think this is anything but that. As a matter of fact, it's second only to having it 24/7 in the Word of God and in the power of God. Just let me let you in on a secret. Just let me say this again. You ain't there. Until you get there, whoo, be gentle and grasp and know that God's in the picture. And when He pours that wisdom in you from heaven, give it out, speak it out, love on people. And if you're having trouble doing that, know that the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, and then it's peace-loving, and it's considerate, and it's submissive, and it's full of mercy, and it has full of good works, and it's full of impartiality, and it's full of sincerity, and God will pour it out on you. Number five, a fool spurns his father's discipline, but whoever heeds correction shows prudence. I just think the fifth G is we need to grow. We need to continue to grow in how to handle conflict. Listen, in my life, I have never seen more years of conflict than I have in the last 2 years. Somebody better get it right. And somebody better grow through this, and it's up to us. It's the church. And I want to grow. I don't want to spurn. I don't want to go against what God is doing. I don't want to reject what the Father is doing in my life. I want to have good sense. And I want to grow. I want to grow, and I want to know how to handle conflict better. But just so you know, I can't unhook from people all the time, and I can't drive and run over people all the time and think I'm going to grow in how to handle conflict, because all you're going to grow is in gas pedal 101. And just so you know, we have enough of those individuals. And if you're having trouble growing and listening to God and not spurring His discipline in your life and not heeding His correction, start to ask for the wisdom that comes from heaven. Because the first and foremost, it is pure. Pure. And then it's peace-loving and considerate and submissive and full of mercy and good fruit and impartial, and it's sincere. Can you imagine that spirit about us in the middle of conflict? Five G's on this first Sunday, the last five in this year. Be gentle. Grasp what the other people are thinking or feeling. God is in the picture. Give out what God gives to you. Love on people. And continue to grow. Stand with me today. God, we started this message off today with worship, with a proclamation as, here's my heart, Lord, here's my life. Speak what is true. And with everything that I stand here, I'm going to be part of the solution at times, and I may be part of the problem at times, and I may want to drive over people at times, and I may want to unhook from people at times. And And Lord, I want to get it right, and I want to know. I don't want Jesus to come to say to me, and if you just only knew the Scripture, you wouldn't be in conflict. You wouldn't be in error. If you only knew the power of God, you wouldn't have this situation. And I want us to have that, and I'm hungry for that, and I strive toward that. And at the same time, until I'm there, I want to be gentle. I want the grasp. God, I want to know that you're here and in the middle of this conflict in my life, in the middle of the conflict of this country, in the middle of conflict, and I need to cry out to you and ask for this wisdom that comes from heaven. And I need to give out and love on people and care for people as you would want me to. And Lord, then I want to continue to grow in your discipline in my life. And so, Lord, I thank you for that. So here's our life, Lord. Here's our heart, Lord. Speak what is true. Because I'm found. Many in this room, maybe even a large majority in this room, are found. We are children of the Most High God. And Father, I think that you expect us and empower us to handle conflict without just disconnecting or running over other people. So Father, here we go in Jesus' name. We're going to go out of this room and we're going to shut off our TVs and whatever we're going to do. But God, I hope that I don't just fall back in the rut of arguing on the way home. God, I speak against every van, every SUV, every truck, every car that leaves here, that there will be no arguments. In the name of Jesus, no arguments on the way home. That a gentle spirit would rule in the van, in the car, in the SUV, in the truck. And in Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.